I've got Tom and Robbie from Tom Monty Doo Doo and the Crocodile Crew in the studio with me right now. Good morning, boys.
What up?
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fair. That's good. Yeah. What about you guys?
Pretty good. A bit tired this morning, but yeah, pretty good.
A little bit tired, but yeah, ready to provide some Hogwarts banter.
So I received a text before that had something to do with Slytherin, and I was sitting here thinking, what the hell is that person talking about? That's something to do with you.
Yeah, they might have visited Pottermore.com, where it's a lovely place where you can go and find out more extra features, unwritten materials from J.K. Rowling,
the author of The Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And
Lots
of interactive activities. For instance, you can do the sorting hat game, where you work out what house you'd belong to.
What about you guys? What house are you in?
Well, I haven't actually done the thing yet. But
it's not about us, though. It's about you and where you fit in.
So where would you fit in, Nicholas? What do you reckon?
I don't know. I'd hope a Slytherin, probably. Like
What? Okay. Well, why don't we do a little quiz? Okay, I'll be the sorting hat. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and I'll be the quiz master. Okay.
All right.
All right, Nicholas. Do you prefer dusk?
Put me on his head. Put me on his head.
All right, it's on. It's on Nicholas. All right, do you prefer dusk or dawn?
I'd say dusk.
Another question.
Okay. Would you prefer if you had to choose an animal to take to Hogwarts in your first year of schooling? Would you take a Gryffindor lion, a Slytherin snake, a Hufflepuff mouse, or a badger?
Very good question. Yes.
I mean, I do like badgers.
Hufflepuff.
Thank you, Sorting
Hat. Sir Slytherin.
All right, this is getting even more confusing.
Just visit Pottermore.com.
Pottermore.com. It's J.K. Rowling's unreleased writings. Or follow her on Twitter. We're going to be talking about that later in the
show. She's very interested in Brexit. J.K. Rowling.
The Brexit. Britain left the EU recently and...
No way.
You know, everyone seems to be going up in arms, including J.K. Rowling from the Pottermore. And
are you guys just presenting J.K. Rowling's Pottermore take, or do you guys have also a hot take of your own?
Well, we don't know much about it, but we'll try our best. We're going to have Mike Baird calling in actually later on to discuss it with
him. We had him in last week and everyone absolutely raves about him. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's got some suspect laws, but I enjoy his personality, to be fair, so we'll get him in.
All right, a divisive character, but a character nonetheless.
A character nonetheless. A character that we'll be calling in.
All right, stick around. The time is about 8 minutes to midday. I'll play a couple of tunes. I'll be back tomorrow from 9 a.m. Thanks for joining me and texting in today. Text these guys, and can you give me some more instructions? You're texting about a sorting hat.
yeah. We want to know what house do you think is the best house?
The best house. Okay. 409-945-945.
And we'll have various other Pottermore related questions as the show progresses.
Or what are your reasons why Pottermore.com is the best site in the world?
All right, the magic of the internet.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right, I'm going out on 106 Point Never, the first track from his album R+7. It's called Boring Angel. See you tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to Tom Monty Doo Doo and the Crocodile Crew.
Hello and welcome to FBR Radio 94.5 FM. Big ups to the show before. You're with Tom Monty Doo Doo and the Crocodile Crew with Tom Montefiore.
Hello.
Go now.
Hello.
Jordan Shanks is away at the moment, and I'm Robbie Armfield, and we've got a great show coming up for you. Information about how you can subscribe to Pottermore.com, and also just great tracks.
And other lesser important things.
Important things, but it's a spicy show. So
to start off with, Robbie has spent the last week on a ration challenge to help raise money for Syrian refugees.
Yeah, Robbie. Exactly. Raised over $1,000, so I'd just like to thank all the donors so much. Like, honestly, it's highly appreciated, and I now know what it's like to live as one of those Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's so... they must be so hungry all the time, and I really experience that.
You know? Yeah, they must have a really vague idea as well about what they're allowed to be eating and what they're not allowed to be eating during the week. So, like, what did you have to eat? What were you allowed to eat?
So, I had... It was a box, a cardboard box filled with rice, lentils, chickpeas, sardines, kidney beans, red kidney beans, and I think there might have been a Corona in the- no, just joking.
And is that all you ate? You just ate
the Corona's
stuff
a joke,
in that
but
box?
The rest of it was that was real. Yeah,
it'd be good to get texts on this and what you think, like morally, because Robbie, as much as he might think he followed the ration challenge, didn't follow it at all. For instance,
well, no, but I do.
Mm-hmm. What? Go on, defend yourself.
Gryffindor!
No, sorry. Yeah, go. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, for instance, lentils were in the box. So, he just thought, when we're at a restaurant, oh, they serve lentil soup, I'll just order lentil soup, which has multiple different ingredients, not the lentils that are, you know, the amount of lentils that he's allowed to have. And he would just eat the lentil soup and not then go home and dispose of the amount of lentils that he ate, but just kind of have it as an extra.
Well, to be fair, it was homemade,
so
it said homemade lentil soup.
yeah, but it's more about the quantity of what you're eating. All right, explain.
So then I did go home, didn't I? I did go home, and then I threw out some of those lentils.
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
no, you didn't.
Yeah, yeah. I came home and I poured them out into the bin.
All right, explain the burger then. Explain that. We went together,
halloumi,
and you had a big burger.
It was halloumi, wasn't it? So it was. But I didn't... Oh, no, I didn't. No,
okay, All right, so the number is 0409-945-945 to text in. Do you think even... So, Robbie raised the money.
We spoke about this, though, right? Like, you got to think like a refugee. And they're smart people. So, like, you know, if you... And it said... It also said it stipulated, alongside the quote that we mentioned last week, where the person said they ate a chicken to their lentil soup. I admit, slightly spurious, but I did do it.
You just added anything you wanted.
No, it said, if you have any medical concerns, please eat something. And I really... You
Did
saw
you
me. I was moping
concern?
Around. I was...
You were hungry.
I was not myself. I was hungry as hell. I was not myself, was I?
Yeah, but that's the point. The thing, it's... People are donating money to see you suffer through this challenge. That's why they've given you money. And you didn't suffer at all.
Well, I did do it.
You did it for like
Aside
a day.
Aside from the homemade lentil soup, I did do it.
Mm.
Maybe a bit of chicken, but...
yeah, and a burger and... And just whatever you wanted, really. You went out drinking one night.
That's not true.
Yes, it
That's
is.
No, this is not true. This is being broadcast, mate.
So, yeah, is it off that you've given money potentially to a fraud? Or is it fine because the money is still going to the same place and that's good?
Okay, so we've got a text here. Please keep the funny names coming at the end. We will not read it unless there's a funny name at the end. So, somebody said, doesn't Robbie just live off really non-nourishing food anyway? I feel like he's having more fiber and protein in the ration challenge.
He actually probably was.
Like, Pope Benny wrecked. He's back.
Here he is.
Back again, baby.
Yeah, your usual diet consists of what? Just Nutella and crackers with oil.
Spaghetti
bread and oil.
And sausages.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, you blew the microwave up. All right, let's go to a song. We'll talk about that later.
Okay, this is the one. Shooter. It's by Clipping from their most recent EP called Wriggle. Please text in. What's the best... Hogwarts house. See you in a moment. Okay, hello everybody. You with Tom Montedudo and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5 FM. That was the song Shooter by Clipping. It's their most recent one from their EP called Wriggle. We've got some texts coming in. The number's 0409-945-945. If you'd like to get in touch, people saying what Hogwarts house they like. Mm. People saying Gryffindor. People are saying Slytherin because it's parcel tongue. People saying Hufflepuff. People also berating me for slightly cheating on the
ration
challenge.
For some, good, yeah, that's good.
Good reason. No,
that.
Good. Look, fair enough. You know, some of them I cannot read out. They again, I don't know why the zany names even include unmentionable words.
But yeah, the main thing that we're trying to get across today is that Pottermore.com is dedicated to unlocking the power of imagination. It offers news, features, and articles, as well as new and previously unreleased writings by J.K. Rowling.
It does, actually. And
So, you know, like, go to that, check it out. It's a really great site. Can't recommend it highly enough.
Sorry, what was the name? What was the name?
Pottermore.com.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a great site.
M-O-R-E.
Yep. Yeah. So, right. More Potter. That's all we want.
Okay.
And there's great interactive little games, whatever you want, exercises.
I think there were articles. Actually, weren't there? There's, like, sort of fun quizzes and stuff.
It's great.
Like that.
Yeah, it's an awesome site. All right. So, what we're going on to here is inventions or gripes. It's a very loose segment, really, but it's just like inventions that we would think need to be made that aren't yet made, and we don't know what the invention is, but it's just gripes we have that it's like, surely someone should come up with something better than what we've currently got. So what's an example?
Can we? Yes, we can.
So my example, for instance, is...
So can we fix it?
Surely.
Yes, we... With magic, surely. Pottermore.com.
So, my example is, like, umbrellas feel as though they're a very crappy product. Don't you think? It's just, like, a pole with a bit of fabric over your head. Like, it's so simple. Surely there is better...
Maybe if there's something you could wear that had the same material.
Like, hydrophilic material that makes, like, water, like bounce off
coat.
Your coat. Imagine that. Imagine that.
That'd be good. I'd like that.
All right. There is one for that. But umbrellas just seem like they just... It feels like something you would use in the year, 2000 BC or something with a huge leaf over your head. Like, we haven't gone past that.
Why that particular time?
Pre-culture.
Pre-culture.
20,000 BC. Dinosaur times.
Well, BC, that was when Jesus was around. So, like...
No.
Are you saying there's no culture at the time
zero,
of Jesus?
At zero. I was saying 2,000 years before Jesus.
Oh, BC.
But there was culture there. Anyway, all right. What else is there? We've got...
finish that. So all right. So, you're just saying, I reckon that's
I just reckon umbrellas are crap. That's all
I reckon they're crap.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So...
It's just like a bit of fabric on top of your head. Like, it should be something better. And I know there are better things, but... They're
hard to share as well. Like, there are lots of problems. I do agree.
It just drips off the sides. So, sharing is always... You're going to get more wet if you're on the perimeter of the umbrella.
And so, what's your solution?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm after. Dizzy.
Okay.
Bob the Builder thing.
So, you got a few of these, dude.
The other one I was thinking of this morning is... You know the feeling when you get out of the shower and it's like really nice hot shower. Then you have to go through this like very cold, intense period of... Just like freezing, and then you put on clothes and become warm again. Robbie.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Sorry, go again.
So, when you get out of a shower and you're incredibly cold from just having a shower, and then you need to put clothes on, it feels as though that period, surely there should be something which can solve that problem. For instance, I don't know, some kind of material you could wear which is like warm, or I don't know the invention.
To get from the shower to
clothes. There's this kind of period that everyone in the world goes through. Like, whether you're Bill Gates or whatever, you're cold when you get out of a shower, I would think.
Okay. But maybe that's like, maybe people like that because it, it wakes you up. That's the whole point of a shower, right?
No, no one likes that. No one likes that.
Well, maybe, like, I did experience recently somebody had a dryer in their bathroom.
So, it keeps the whole room really hot.
This is one that I have. I think, people should have dryers in their bathrooms. I think...
Why?
I think it should just be as common as people have umbrellas. Like, you're like, oh, what? They don't have... If they don't have it, it's like, oh, what? Because when you get out of the shower, again, look, you've got the towel. It's nice and warm. it's not going to be...
Yeah.
It's not cold. It's not wet either, and so you're going to get out of the shower and you're going to wrap that around yourself, and what's going to happen? You're going to get nice and dry and you're going to be warm.
All right. I feel like there are actually solutions.
And also the room's going to be warm as well because dryers heat up the room with their condensation and stuff, right?
Yeah, I guess so. All right, fine. That's solved.
Somebody just says, just use a towel, a dressing gown, walk in a giant bubble. All right. Well, yeah.
Bubble. No, it feels like it's still not completely solved. It's just the same feeling of when you're jumping into a pool and it's going to be really cold. You have the exact same feeling when you're getting out of a hot spa or a hot shower.
Yeah.
It's just like torture for like a good few seconds. There has to be some way to fix that.
I think you're onto something, to be honest. And I think a lot of people are agreeing with you. The board's absolutely lighting up here.
And a lot of disagreeing with me.
No, I think mostly agreeing that, the world should be better than this.
Yeah. What's your bin one?
I'm just going to read out somebody here.
Oh, okay.
He's texted a few times. I think he deserves a mention. Sizzlin' Steel. Kettles are pretty crap. In all the years of technology advancing, it still takes 5+ minutes to boil a cup of water.
Yeah, completely right.
I agree.
Yeah.
Although they do have some of those boxes now where you can pull the little red tab and it's like boiling already, right?
Do they?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Are you a muggle?
No, they don't. Yeah, this is a segue to Harry Potter. Apparently, we had magic in this world.
Yeah, to Pottermore.com, where all J.K. Rowling's unreleased materials and fun quizzes.
Readily available.
My bin one. I reckon bins, you know, I think we were getting somewhere with the foot, the little foot thing that you sort of press down and it opens, right?
Yeah.
I think we should have more of that. I don't know why they're, you know, sort of, for instance, in the FBI studios here, like, love the place, but they've got those bins that...
The swinging door bin,
where you have to, like, push it, you know, there's all the grime on it.
Yeah, often, bin is a two-hand job.
It is.
If you've got a swinging door, then you have to, like, prop the swing open with the plate.
Prop it open somehow, and then...
Extra thing to clean.
I mean, it's just your classic observational...
Bins in general feel as though they're just kind of an old idea. Like, there has to be...
Incinerators.
Surely there is something. Like, yeah, it's just... Like, there's... Yeah.
What about... I was also thinking, actually, you know, cut with cars. You know, people driving around and stuff.
Yeah.
Which you might be doing right now, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Indicators, they feel a little bit old hat. Like, the technology itself, okay, it's the same as when it started, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's just like you're just flicking out. I think back in the day, they had those like bits of cardboard that would fling to the side or whatever it was and just go, yeah, I'm turning here.
Yeah.
And
on the Dragon's Den the other day, there was this guy that came on. It was just... Yeah, like, it was such a throwaway kind of pitch where he was saying how his idea was, like, isn't it annoying how on work sites you'll have one dude that stands at one side with the stop sign and the other dude stands on the other side with the go, and then they have to, like, flip at the same time to let, like, cars go down a, you know, the road, you know, like, the person with the stop sign.
Yeah.
And he flicks it around.
Yeah.
And he's like, my idea, all I want is a case of beer. I don't want any money.
Yeah.
He's like, all I want is, like, here's my idea. You just have a, like, a cardboard cutout of a person holding a sign, and it just, like, some, like, mechanical device just, like, flicks the stop to go.
I think it's a great idea.
But just, like, all you need is a red and green light. Like, you don't need to have a cardboard cutout of a man. It's such, like, a not really understanding, like, a technological jump. Like, you could just, like, you're just keeping this original thing, but just having a person in a cardboard instead of a real person.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I guess so. Mm. What do you think about that show?
No, I hate it.
Okay, we'll go to a song now. It's called Night Owl. It's from Metronomy, their most recent album coming up called Summer 08. You're with Tom Monty Dude and the Crocodile Creek crew. Keep those texts coming in about Hogwarts and Pottermore.com. The number's 0409-945-945, or call in if you'd like, 833-22999. FBI Radio. Ah, yes. The sultry sounds there of Metronomy with their most recent song called Night Owl from their upcoming album Summer 08. You're on FBR Radio 94.5 FM with Tom Monty Doodoo and the Crocodile Crew. I've got texts here in regards to inventions, what your best houses are from the Pottermore series. we've got a text here on the numbers 0409-945-945. Somebody said... what about umbrellas? One drop of rain in Sydney and the streets become a graveyard of inverted umbrella corpses. Someone needs to say something, Robbie. Haha, thanks, mate. Love your work. Thanks. Cheers. Now, we love having a good giggle, don't we, Tom? We love
laughing.
We love having a good laugh. We love having a bit of banter with the texters here. But I think we did actually address this. And
I think you're
taking the piss. And look, we...
we appreciate texts. Keep them coming. Like, it's not really, you know, a slight on you, but really, like, we spoke about that already. Umbrellas, obviously, they're terrible inventions. We spoke about it. What else we got?
Well, do you know what?
What?
Someone needs to say something!
No, there was another really good text about Tiger Balm, I think.
Oh, yes,
there was. About...
No, yeah, here we go. Yeah, I got it here. And then, okay. But so that's a little sizzle, so everyone knows there's a bit of sizzle. Okay. Bit of sizzle for that. So this is in reference to getting out of the shower. And feeling cold. And what's that all about? And can we do something about that?
We have a solution to it. A texter has texted in.
Lather your body in tiger balm. That's from Edgy Teen Lord.
That's what we're talking about. When we're saying technological leaps, that's what we mean.
That is what we mean.
That it's like a chemically somehow messing with your skin to make you artificially feel really hot. That's what I'm after.
The more I think about it, though, the logistics are feeling a little bit intricate.
Dressing yourself covered in a balm it feels as though it kind of defeats the purpose of showering a bit.
A little bit. Anyway, keep those coming, Energy Teen Lord. Love hearing from you.
All right, so this is a standard radio trick. It's called a sizzle, which Robbie just did earlier.
We're known for radio of the mind, and so we really, now we're doing.
Someone needs to say something!
Which is Robbie's terrible impression of Jerry Seinfeld.
It's 2016, the year of impression-based segments, and we're doing this on the radio. And so each week, we'll have a little gripe with, society, a little bit of observational comedy or whatever.
And Robbie's been complaining about this for probably a month or 2 months now, I would say. A long time.
And I do think we agree on a lot of it.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah. So, this is about the Halal Snack Pack Appreciation Society, which is it's almost taboo to bring this up in a negative light because everyone loves it.
Yes. I'm struggling to understand it, to be honest. I don't really get why everyone gets so crazily behind it. I don't understand.
Well, I think it's because it's kind of celebrating, multiculturalism. It's like kind of our.
Well, that's cool. But they're just so unhealthy, and the memes there are just awful.
So why are the memes crap?
Well, they're just not funny. Can we just I honestly think someone needs to say something. Like it feels like Halal Snack Pack Appreciation Society has just got like a free ride, and everyone's just agreeing. All the politicians like uploading videos, like everyone's going, oh, he's eating a kebab, oh, he's eating a snack pack, oh, he's with the longer snack. Shut up.
Yeah, because that's a very Australian internet meme thing, which is just it's just a tall poppy thing where if anyone gets behind anything, they get shut down immediately. And that video came out of Sam Destiari with the Halal Snack Pack, and I was expecting to have a barrage of people saying like, oh, he doesn't understand,
he doesn't get it,
a politician, like, don't get internet culture, but no, everyone was just like, yeah, go Sam, like, which is great, I guess, but it's so bizarre.
We will say, though, we have tried them.
Oh, I love them.
Like, they taste good, but they're also just very unhealthy,
I've been eating them for years. I used to think they were called meat boxes. Like, I've always loved snack packs,
right?
But it's more just like the, I reckon my problem with it is it's almost bullying, I reckon, the way the page works. In that, like, everyone's aware of it, and it's kind of a joke in that it's, when you review a snack pack, there'll be ranks out of 10. So, like the signage and the cheese and all the different things. And if you upload a photo which isn't exactly fitting the criteria of what they require to be, like, it's not just about the halal meat. It's like you have to have the exact right amount of sauce. If you're into tomato sauce, you are, like, completely an outcast from that group. Like, you would just be ripped to shreds. And it's kind of funny how that kind of attitude of being, like, very selective and very kind of, like, angry and, like, you'll be, like, just, beaten down in the comments section if you do anything slightly wrong. Mm. It's weird that that's, like, celebrated, like, as though that's a great, this is a great, like, welcoming page. Because at the same time, it's almost like a high school clique. Like, it's really very selective. Like, you have to follow the rules or you're just, not allowed to be there.
I think, so we've got a text here. The number's 0409-945-945 if you'd like to get in touch. Look, I gotta agree. Halal Snack Pack Appreciation Society is a stale meme at best. Art van der Lee.
I think you're right. I think it is stale.
Straight up, but also, I will say that there is one positive of it in the sense that it sort of brings to the fore the experience of going into those shops. Because we went into one recently and we saw the chef was wearing a Che Guevara sort of Family Guy Peter Griffin shirt and a fedora. And you could tell, I think he was sort of playing into it a little bit. Like,
yeah, because the big things in the ranking on the Halal Snack Pack Appreciation Society is the way the person greets you when you walk in. And usually if they say like, hey, brother, then that's like a a really good greeting. And the guy, when we went in, was like, what's going on, diggers? Like, something like that. Like, a very Australian, like, kind of awkward way of talking whilst wearing a fedora and a Family Guy t-shirt. And we're just thinking, like, how this would be... This would just send that group into chaos. Like, they wouldn't know what to do with it because...
Oh,
like, they're not... Like, that would be a very dingo thing to do, is what they call it. So, it's kind of... Yeah, but he's the guy that owns the shop. Like, you can't really... You know, he knows more about it than you do.
While we're on the subject, we've got another text here saying HSP has nothing on blokes and their ice creams, which was which was bordering on misogyny. And I think is, and I think, God, I mean, talk about stale. That page is really just...
Blokes and their ice creams.
Have you seen it?
No. What is it?
There was one photo I saw uploaded semi-recently. It was just awful. It was like a man in the middle of a sexual act just taking a photo with an ice cream. It was just...
What's the page about? Is it just people taking photos with ice creams?
Yeah, just blokes and their ice cream. And like Maxi Bonds, I think people, you know, have races to see how fast they can eat them and things like this.
Yeah. Well, and there's something kind of...
Initially, you get in them, right? You're like, oh, wow, this could be good. And you're like, oh, for goodness sake.
It's not really.
It's not, is it?
Well, the snack pack thing definitely has more going on, but maybe it's kind of, yeah. Anyway, that's what you have to think about snack packs then, Robbie.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, well, no, we've got one here in relation to the inventions. Mm-hmm. So, what about these ones? Like the heat lights in showers. You know, some like quite lavish bathrooms have those heat lamps. So then when you get out, it's hot.
I'm saying, though, unless you're taking your clothes to the bathroom to get changed, which is a problem in itself because of wet floors, getting out of a shower, like there's, you know, you might get something wet. You're still going to have to do that thing where you drop the towel and need to get changed, and it's going to be cold unless you have like excellent heating in your house. And I feel as though there may be like, you know, some kind of garment that you shower in that like maintains its heat and then like dries very quickly or something. That's all I can think of at the moment, but you know, it's not really what it's about. It's more about the gripe.
Okay, well, stick around. You're on Tom Monty Dude and the Crocodile Corn FBR Radio. We're going to be talking about Brexit. A little bit of sizzle for that, okay? Here's a new one from Danny Brown. Hello there. That was the new one from Danny Brown. It's called When It Rain. You're listening to Tom Monty Dudu and the Crocodile Crew on FBI Radio 94.5 FM. Texts coming in about their favourite houses, people saying Hugglepuff. Texts about the inventions. We've got one saying there should be no window wipers on cars. Instead, we should have big...
Air jets. Kind of push the water away so you don't have the wiper. Yeah, it's, again, wipers are old technology. Like, it's just adding a very simple idea to a very complicated... Like, imagine having windscreen wipers on spaceships. It just doesn't... Like, maybe they do have them, but it just feels like very dumb technology to, like, add to such incredible technology. Really good one, though, that came through before was saying about the umbrellas. What was that, Robbie?
Oh, yeah. We need umbrellas that collect water and have attached straws to drink that sweet, sweet rainwater. That's from Roscoe. I totally agree.
I can't agree more, Roscoe.
No,
it's perfect.
I know, yeah. If I've learned anything from the ration challenges, we need to be appreciative of what we've got. And I think rainwater is just, it's free flowing, you know? It's coming straight down for us.
That's one of the cases where you do add a really dumb technology, like a straw to an umbrella, and it makes an amazing technology. So, good work, Roscoe.
It does. Thanks, Roscoe. But now, current affairs. Okay, now the world...
Brexit.
It seems like it's going down the toilet, does it not, Tom?
It does. When did you know what Brexit meant? Like, was there a time, like, who made that phrase, that hashtag, and when was that meant to be understood? Because I was hearing Brexit from people, and then I was also hearing that England had left the European Union, and I didn't connect the two at all, because I didn't know, like, why that was, like, how you were meant to make that connection, like, Britain exit, but, like, yeah, maybe if you were there, it was, like, well known for ages, but I didn't know.
But you're not sure who made it.
Yeah.
Can somebody text in if they know?
made that?
I actually don't. I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, yeah, what's that about? 0409-945-945. I know that J.K. Rowling has been very much against Britain leaving the European Union. For anyone that's not aware, Britain's left the European Union. There was a... a vote and people decided to leave. People are saying, I saw Damon Albarn got up on stage recently and said, you know, democracy hasn't failed us. It's like people were just ill-informed, you know.
Well, yeah, there's a bit of a...
What do you think about
like, that? Well, people don't like it. Well, some people don't like it because they think it's to do with the Syrian refugees and like right. to stop migration coming to England. So they're kind of making it harder for EU people to get in because then they don't have an EU passport. It makes immigration harder. But then they're saying there's going to be big, you know, economic problems from it and blah, blah, blah.
So
who cares? So,
we're in Australia. Why is everyone posting about this? Yeah, just like,
no, yeah, I guess... That, yeah, no, it is a bad thing. But, yeah, we have a special guest that has called in, who we had on last week. It's a great honour. We've got Mike Baird has called in, the Premier of New South Wales.
Mike Baird, New South Wales hot shot. Mike Baird, are you there?
Mike Baird here. Mike,
yep. Last week we spoke about keeping Sydney closed. I think we should keep Sydney closed. Yep,
I wavered for a second, but I still think we should keep it closed.
Yep. very, very fair call. How's your day been? You know, it's, what is it now? 12:38.
Yeah, it's very good, very good. Lounging about. What have we got? We've got school. We've got kids. I've been giving them breakfast. What else have I done? Not a whole lot today. I've been listening to your radio show, and yeah, that's been my day today.
What do you think about Brexit, Mike? Is it a big issue for New South Wales people? Or?
It doesn't really concern us, does it? What the Europeans have going on there? You can let the tribes fight amongst themselves, and we'll have no part of it, will we?
Finale of Game of Thrones tonight. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, the finale of it?
Yeah.
It'll be a bit like Brexit, won't it?
In what way, Mike Baird?
In one way or another, we're going to find out. We'll find out that they've left the mainland, haven't they? The Targaryen princess.
All right. Okay. I think we've got to be careful of spoilers here for some people. but do you love your Game of Thrones, do you, Mike Baird?
Oh, I love it. Can't get enough of it. Every week, me and the kids will sit down, we'll watch the beheading. what else will we see?
The violence in the show.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, well, anyway, it was great to have you on, Mike. Good to hear your thoughts on the Brexit issue, and it's great to have someone as...
High profile
as yourself on the show. So
actually, I will ask just quickly before you go, Halal Snack Packs, you into them or what?
Halal, yeah. Can't get enough of a good meat feed.
Okay.
yeah, and so, I mean, if anything, that's why Britain shouldn't be leaving the European Union, should they?
Sorry, that seems like a very tenuous connection, but we'll leave it there, Mike Baird. Thanks so much for taking the time. I will also mention to you, Tom, do you remember you got me a little gift a couple of years ago that actually makes me very much connected to this whole Brexit situation?
Oh, yeah, it's like buying a donkey or something for a goat for a poor person, and you give it to your friend, and they kind of morally have to accept the gift and be happy with it because it's a good thing to do. But it's for them, they should be able to choose if they want to give to charity or not. But yeah, it was kind of like that. I bought Robbie a small piece of land in Scotland where he is now a lord. I don't know how legally binding that is, but Robbie, you're a lord in Scotland, so you should have some kind of say potentially on this topic.
I think so. I didn't receive an email or anything like that. But I was, yeah. I was also thinking, like, I'll be a lord, but I think I'll add an E on the end. I'll be a lord of Scotland.
Have you teed up a lord song?
I wish.
All right, let's go to a song.
Okay. Tom, what'd you do in the Crocodile Crew, FBI Radio. Hello there. That's the new one called Human Om from Tobacco. His new album, Sweatbox Dynasty, is coming out soon on Ghostly. You're with Tom Wantidoodoo and the Crocodile Crew on FBI Radio 94.5 FM with Tom Montefiore and Robbie Armfield this week. Jordan is away.
Yeah. So, the other day, I was leaving the apartment, which Robbie and I share, and as I was walking down the stairs, a guy that shares the big block of apartments, said to me, he goes, you should probably get out of the block. This apartment's on fire. And we're like, oh, okay. Like, we'll just leave. And he goes, yeah, I don't think the fire alarms are going to go off. And I was like, okay. So, I walk out of the apartment. Robbie's still up in his room. And I call up to Robbie and I say, Robbie, you should probably leave. There's a fire in another apartment below you. And he just said, are you joking? And I said, no, I'm not joking. I'm serious. And then he just put on a gas mask and just didn't leave the house.
Well, but I thought this was like one of your sort of dumb pranks. You know, like I sometimes do little pranks. Like, you know, the other day I put my spaghetti and sausages in the microwave and just let it going for 10 minutes without... Just
blew up the microwave.
Yeah, and then I left saying I was going to a job. I wasn't going to a job. I just went and sat in the park for a couple of hours.
But, you just had my girlfriend clean it all up.
Well, yeah, but so that was a little prank that I did.
Yeah, then, yeah.
But I thought you were pranking me.
Yeah, one of those kind of pranks.
Yeah.
No, well, yeah. And I was walking towards where I was going, two fire engines like rocketed past me to try and
stop
this fire.
Yeah, I saw your Snapchat.
And I took a video of it and sent it to you, and you still didn't leave the building.
No, because I had... So I went to Japan earlier in the year, and I got one of those, the face mask things, and, you know, just to see what it was like. And I just had one still. And it was perfect, you know, like it was the perfect time to use it, I think.
Mm.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah, well, I guess so. Texts in 0409-945-945. Is that probably the dumbest decision you've ever heard?
Well, but okay, it's brick, so it's an apartment building. I just don't know what would catch fire. You know, it's just bricks.
So the apartment directly below you is ablaze. It's fully ablaze.
Yeah, but then you tap the walls and they're solid as hell. You know, it's not going down without a fight.
Well, if you've got any experience in firefighting, let us know. Is that incredibly stupid?
Anyway, we came back and it was fine. Okay,
yeah, it was fine in the end.
So that was just another one of your pranks gone wrong.
Have you ever called the police or the fire brigade?
I haven't actually, but I was with my dad one time. We were driving along and we just saw a fight on the side of the road, and he just called the police.
Really?
Yes.
Seems a bit overreacting.
That's what, looking back, but it was quite exciting at the time, but yeah, looking back, maybe that was a little bit...
A bit of a... Yeah.
Maybe... there was probably something to it that I can't quite recall now. But
well, we called the police when we saw a dead body, remember? That happened to us.
Sorry?
We called the police when we saw that dead body in Uluru.
Should we talk? Yeah, okay.
Let's not get into it. I once called the fire brigade because I was quite... I was, like, in primary school, and I was driving home to... my mum was driving the car, and we're going home, and I saw, like, all this smoke coming from the kind of bushland near the beach, and it's right next to the high school, and I was like, oh, should we go, like, look at what that smoke is? And it's kind of that assumption that if there's a fire somewhere, you just assume someone else has probably called the fire brigade, because it's so obviously just, like, burning down, like, this huge fire. So, we drove down, and it was just the whole, like, there's a huge fire. Like, the whole of this, like, big bushy area was just completely on fire and heading towards the high school. So, I was like, oh, well, we may as well call the fire brigade. And we called up, and they were just completely oblivious to it. And they're like, oh, really? Like, all right. So we waited there, and the fire brigade showed up, and they were just, like, hosing down this huge fire. And then I told my friends the next day at school, and I just received nothing but hate for that, because they wanted this high school to burn down overnight, because they were like, we wouldn't have to go to school. Oh. You idiot. Why did you call the fire brigade? It's just, like, the dumbest logic. I can understand why someone in year six would feel... like, that was silly to stop a school from burning down. But, yeah, I don't know. It felt
like maybe
kind of
there should be...
To.
So, maybe that should be one of the inventions. Like, just better fire detection would probably be good, right?
Yeah, yeah. Is that all technology that you have to call up somebody to stop something from happening? Like, surely there should be some kind of, like, GPS or, like, I guess that's very invasive, but... You know, like, there has to be a better way.
We've got some suggestions here about inventions. Somebody saying, if your house is on fire, use the natural asbestos found in the walls as a natural flame shield. And that's probably similar. It's a good one akin to the oil that we said you should rub on yourself after a shower, so then you don't feel...
Kind of defeats cold. It, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah, you would rather, you know, breathe in a lot of asbestos than be burnt, so...
To be fair, like, the fire was... You know, there was a fire, but, like, it wasn't that big.
There was two fire engines. If you got two, like, rushing there, and someone's telling you to get out of the apartment
building...
Yeah,
maybe it was just one of those things, wasn't it, where, like, there's just, like, a group... calm that everyone just accepts as fine, you know, in the building, when in actual fact it was...
What's like you hear when there's like a tsunami coming or some big natural disaster and everyone kind of walks out of the door and you're not like... what would it take for you to start running down the street if everyone else is walking? Like, yeah, you kind of need a bit of a push of someone to be like, we need to get to high ground for you to start to think, oh, yeah, we should probably go to high ground. Like, you, if everyone else just goes back into their houses when the big siren's going off, are you going to just be the only one that runs to safety? Like, maybe, I don't know. I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Should. I don't know. Well, that's sort of like, you know, those flash mob things.
Mm.
Does that devalue, you know, well, it's, you know, so it's just going to throw everyone haywire, isn't it? Because everyone's going to be, oh, well, if that's...
It's just a flash mob. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a, what, in a train station, if a big flash mob of people just pretend to run. Yeah,
start running through and you're, you know, now people second guess that stuff. Whereas back in the day, everyone would just be like, oh, my God, I'm getting out of here, right?
Yeah, true.
What's up with that?
Yeah, maybe we should stop flash mobs. It's not very safe.
Let's think about that over a song. Okay, this this is the Can't Keep Checking My Phone rework by Silicon of the Unknown Mortal Orchestra track from his most recent album, Multilove. You're with Tom Montydude and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5 FM. Text in your favourite Hogwarts house and inventions and scary stories, actually. Yep. I think we're going to have a bit of sizzle. We'll have some scary stories.
Yeah,
now.
So the number's 0409-945-945 and the website is pottermore.com.
Okay, yes, there we go. That was the end of the song there. That was Can't Keep Checking My Phone, the Silicon rework, originally by Unknown Mortal Orchestra, with Tom Montydude and the Crocodile Crew on FBR Radio 94.5 FM. We've got a text here on 0409-945-945 if you'd like to get in touch quickly. This one says, speaking of redundant inventions, shouldn't the Ambos Police and Fire Brigade be merged? Absolutely not. I don't know why you would think that's a good idea. Don't they have very particular uses.
Yeah, it's completely different skills, all of them. An ambulance, someone that deals in health and crime is just completely different.
Yeah.
I know they might go to the same crime scene, but they all have very different jobs. It's just an awful idea.
There also wasn't a funny name at the end of that one. So
thanks
just keep
for
that in mind.
In,
thanks, but,
yeah,
but keep that in mind. You need a funny name. We've got in the studio here Dan.
Hello.
Who is taking over from Stephen Goodhue's day on the playlist coming up. Did you choose the tracks?
I didn't. I chose like maybe a few of the tracks, but nice. I left most of that up to Stevie because I feel like he's probably got a bit more of a handle on that thing. Right. So.
Where's he? What's this about?
I think he's just having a bit of a holiday.
He's in Mollymook.
Yeah. Mollymook. Okay.
So any diehard fans out there that want to catch up with Stevie, he's in Mollymook.
That's where he is.
Yeah.
Give him the address.
So, all right. So, what today's show has been brought to you... Well, it hasn't been brought to you. We're just big fans of Pottermore.com, which is J.K. Rowling's site that has features and articles and just
unreleased writings, quizzes.
Everything Harry Potter. And interactive exercises about... it's called The Sorting Room.
Really?
Yeah, where if you want to, you can go to pottermore.com and find
out... Make sure you have a functional email as well, because what you will need to do is you'll need to set up an account, and so you'll have your username, which is your email, and then you create a password.
Do they give you, like, fake just degrees?
Just one second, and then you verify that through your email. And then once you do that, then you can go back onto the website and go to the sorting section, which is in the top right of the pottermore.com website.
I am very informed.
And then you can, if you'd like, find out what house you'd be in. So, Tom, I think...
So, Dan, we're going to do a bit of an example on you, if you'd like,
absolutely,
to work it out.
Yeah,
so, what house do you think you would be a part of, firstly, if you had to take a wild guess?
I feel like Gryffindor's the obvious choice, but I kind of don't think I would get into Gryffindor, because I don't think I'm, like, heroic enough, so probably, like... Hufflepuff.
Right. Oh, well, let's find out, because it's like a personality test almost. All right, so, first question. First, you have to put Robbie the sorting hat on
your head. Put me on his head.
All right, you're on the head.
Yes, very snug, yes.
Okay, so, Dan, do you prefer dusk or dawn?
Dusk, because I'm absolutely not a morning person.
Right, okay, that's a good one. Can you work it out from that, Robbie?
Another question, probably, yes. Another question I'll need, yes.
Okay, if you had to choose to live in one of these four places, where would you live? So the first one is the Gryffindor dorms, London, a pit full of snakes, or a tiny badger's den?
Oh, yes, very good question, yes.
Probably the den, I reckon.
The badger's den?
Yeah, look, why not?
Hufflepuff!
What?
You've been sorted, Dan.
Just pronounced it.
You're in Hufflepuff.
You've been sorted into Hufflepuff, my boy. Go and join your recruits.
Done.
Recruits.
How go and join your fellow recruits, my boy, at Pottermore.com.
So there you go. That's what all the fun you can have at Pottermore.com. So, Dan, do you have anything that you're going to do on the show?
I'm just going to play a bunch of tunes. That's probably it. Tell you about the album of the week. Tell you about the Click album of the week. It's going to be cool.
Cool. Oh,
great. So you're actually, just for people that don't know, you're actually wearing a little hat.
I was wearing a sorting hat. It's a little party hat, but we'll call it the sorting hat for that.
That hat is so close to breaking as well.
Yeah, look, it's not going well. I'll keep you updated throughout the show on how the hat's going.
You have three head items on, headphones, a beanie, and a party hat.
Yeah, it's bordering on excessive, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, and Robbie's virtual sorting hat. All right. Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks, everybody. That's the show.
That's it. So, thanks so much to Mike Baird, thanks so much to Pottermore.com, thanks so much to Dan, Tom Montefiore.
Yeah, hi. Bye. Sorry.
Dan, looking forward to your show.
Very cool.
And I've been Robbie Armfield, and we will see you next week, Monday, midday till 1. Hope you have a lovely day. Thanks for being with us. And everyone just say goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, now we're going to have another song. It's a little bit cheeky of me. I'm going to do another Silicon song. So it's called God Emoji. It's from his album called Personal Computer. Here you go. Bye-bye.
Say bye.
Bye, guys.